Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
TikTok, there's just like a collective intelligence problem.
So TikTok, these bitches dumb.
Hello and welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. This week, we're talking about posting online as a brand. There once was a time that Twitter was one of the most powerful social media websites on the World Wide Web. In some ways, it still is, but it's also not Twitter anymore and is better known as formerly Twitter in brackets. But there was once a time where the blue website was more than just a place for porn bots to entice you with sexy malware or real people to post the most racist thing you've ever read. Instead, we had classic moments of celebrities posting unexpected bangers. Think Shaquille O'Neal tweeting, "I'm at the Knott's Berry Farms and my butt's too big to fit into seats on the ride. Ah, open bracket, that's me yelling." Close bracket. Britney Spears tweeting, "Does anyone think global warming is a good thing? I love Lady Gaga. I think she's a really interesting artist." And even Cher tweeting, "What's going on with my career?" These are all beautiful captures of posting history. Twitter very much played a large role in modern history when it comes to humanizing and relatabilifying. That's a new word I just made up. The average celebrity. Remember those celebrities that just like us sections of trashy magazines where you'd see celebrities going shopping, using a bag to hold something, or drinking a drink? It was just like that. Nowadays, many celebrities have social media training or social media managers taking control of their social media accounts. As for Twitter, many celebrities have simply up and left after the new management rolled in. But at the height of its success and with its use as a tool for relatability, there were also a number of social media managers of brand accounts testing the waters. It would be commonplace to see the fast food chain Wendy's clapping back at a critic with something shady, or the biscuit company Moon Pie was self-aware about being a biscuit. At first, there were plenty of BuzzFeed articles talking about the 25 funniest brand tweets ever tweeted. People were losing their minds over McDonald's posting like a teenage girl and Sunny D threatening suicide over a football game. It was all fun and games. That is, of course, until it was cringe. Suddenly, the masses didn't care for brand Twitter. They thought, hey, wait a second, this company isn't my friend. It's a company. And the roaring crowds that once surrounded the Wendy's Twitter as she made fun of a guy for getting divorced now moved on to other things. Op-eds from all over the media landscape were coming out and asking questions like, what does it mean for society when people are aligning with Steakums being depressed? And is this all just a marketing ploy? The answer to those questions? I don't know. And yes, what better way to make you want a product than to present it, or the name it's connected to, in a funny or weird way? It makes sense. If you think the company's your friend or the company is an omnipotent, sassy being, you become more endeared to it. So you're probably wondering at this point, what does any of this have to do with video games? Well, you may remember that we had a bit of a chat about social media before with our friend Nicole Larcher. But this particular topic goes a little deeper. Sure, the video game industry needs social media in order to thrive, but we're talking about how it uses it. A hit tweet can do absolute wonders for a video game, especially an indie game. What better way to foster an online community than to be terminally and lethally online? While video game Twitter can sometimes fall into the brand Twitter spectrum, sometimes it can be done right in a way that doesn't feel like a desperate grab at humanity. Enter Cult of the Lamb. Melbourne-made smash hit of 2022 and my personal Gotti of that year is arguably one of the best examples of shitposting on the work account going very, very right. Starting a viral campaign to put sex in the game that led not only to its own account booming in follower size, but many indie game accounts getting their own surge in fans thanks to bouncing off that Lamb's original post is a modern marvel. Even having an enemies to lovers arc with the Angry Birds Twitter account was plenty of fun to watch. Cult of the Lamb, while being able to fall back on the fact that the game is just really, really good, seemingly exists online in a way that isn't cringe, which can be hard to do in an era of online cringe culture. So how can it be done? What goes into crafting the perfect online persona to represent a video game? Joining me to talk all about it is social media manager for Massive Monster and supervisor of the Lamb's screen time, Josie Fletcher. Hello, Josie.
Hello. Hello.
How you feeling?
Hi. Good. Good. I lie awake at night worrying about being cringe.
Oh, God.
That is my fear.
Isn't it the one true fear of being online is being cringe?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have, like, I think you have to accept it, but there is a line when you have such a big following as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's thin.
I mean, there are plenty of bad things that can happen online, you know, especially when you're a woman. Yeah. Oh, woman card already. Yeah. But then there's also, like online cringe culture is crazy because you never know what's going to become cringe until it becomes cringe, and all it takes is like one teenager being like, oh, I hate that you posted this, and then it just comes in droves.
Bestie is cringe now.
I've heard bestie is cringe.
Definitely cringe,
but I think
I've not used bestie. Reese is cringe, but it wasn't cringe when I used
Well, I feel like there are some things that kind of like I feel like we go funny, cringe, post cringe.
I mean, I still say lol, and I've been doing that since 2008.
I've been,
and it was ironic then. It's not now.
Yeah, no, it's real. Saying. Just hitting someone with a lol.
Ingrained.
Well, like
I'll be 85 saying lol.
Good. I hope you are. I can't wait to become an old lady referencing back to my, screen time and having my grandchildren go like, oh, Nana, that's great. I'm so glad that you had such a fun time on the internet. Anyway, I'm going to log on my entire body onto the computer and live in the metaverse because that's the future, right?
Yeah. It's that or like, wow, grandma, I have no idea what the internet is, but it sounds like a wild place. I'm going to put my gas mask on and go out into the wilds. You have fun.
Grandma, that's awesome. I'm not real. I'm a figment of your imagination.
You're dead.
And I'm actually like lying there in this orb.
Yeah, it was too expensive. I can't wait to go back to the orb. To have children, remember?
Yeah, we're figments of your very expensive imagination.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great way to start. Mm. You know, you're a primetime poster. At what age did you realize your love for posting? And were there clues in your childhood or teenagehood that kind of suggested you might have been a good poster in the future?
It's hard to like pinpoint because like I'm very dyslexic. And when I was a teenager, I have read those old posts and they are unreadable. But what I was good at is I used to make like my friends' MySpace profiles, like, and I was the only one that could use Photoshop. So I would like edit my friends' faces so they didn't have any teenage pimples. And that was an amazing thing to do. So like I was really into like making stuff, and I used to just like make in jokes like with friends, like edit pictures of my friends doing weird stuff.
Amazing.
And then most of the time they were just shared within friend groups. That's probably like the crux of it. I've always had like a bit of a, like a weird internet sense of humor. Even that's a weird thing to say as well, but like I was always like kind of chronically online.
No, I feel like that's like it is a weird thing to say, and that isn't a read, but purely just like as someone who also has always had like a internet sense of humor, because I feel like it is like they are two very different things, like having like a real life sense of humor and an internet sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because I was writing an intro for a future pod about just how much influence YouTube has had on internet culture, but also like popular culture in general, but internet culture especially, and especially when it comes to our sense of humor. And you could say the same about Twitter, you could say the same about Tumblr, you could say the same about Facebook in a way, and Instagram, but they were more like the normcore areas. Like it was the Tumblrs and the Something Awfuls, and I hate to say it, the 4chans, that really like built the very specific comedy of the internet.
Yeah.
And I feel like I got tuned into that at a very young age.
Yeah.
Probably too young.
Yeah, look, I was around at the 4chan days when it was like, that was the war zone time, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
A 14-year-old shouldn't have been looking at 4chan.
It's a really interesting thing with 4chan because like point blank period, yeah, so there have been some horrible things that have happened on that website, really bad. And you're not the first woman I've talked to that was on 4chan, like at the age of 14 as a teenage girl, that had their brain just kind of irreparably cursed by it. Yeah, just it absolutely terrible place. However, at the same time, a lot of those like green texts of like age old.
Oh, some of them are funny. They're very funny.
Oh my God.
They're classic.
Still funny to this day.
Yeah.
And funny in different ways. Like funny, like haha funny. And then funny pointing at the poster, haha funny.
Yeah, like or funny, and like, oh, sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
a bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Reddit has some of the like some gold mines as well. There's some classic stories that
I am a printed. Absolute slut for reading Reddit Am I the Asshole or Reddit relationship advice.
Yeah, they're incredible. But I don't
I
read
love being
them
another people's business.
I consume them through the means of watching someone play with dough and a robot voice telling me, and that's the way I like it. I don't want it any other way. And at least
or like
six
a
parts.
Minecraft parkour.
Yeah.
And then it's like, am I the asshole for poisoning my husband on his birthday?
And
it's
then
like, well,
and I'm like, they just
I'm gonna
went
hear
into
her out.
Creative mode and jumped, like went up. Like they're not actually jumping. That didn't jump. Like no one's noticing that they didn't actually, like they cheated in that one bit. Like this is what I'm upset about.
Yeah, like they flew. They flew,
they
for,
flew
a second,
for a second.
And it's just because
I'm out of
the
it now.
Story was just I was so invested in the story that I didn't realize that they pulled a dream on us and just full on cheated.
Yeah. I hate it. Heartbreaking. I actually made
it's
a fake
so
one of those for Cult of Lamb. I did like,
oh,
I think
yeah.
I'm in a cult and it had our gameplay and then little robot voice. And I just wrote some cult thing.
That's, I feel like, is such a good example of how I think you've really, you make very good choices when it comes to working with what is in, but in a niche way at the time, and working that into the social media manager job. You know what I mean? So on that, what were you doing before you got into social media management, and how did you find your way into it?
Oh, I was streaming on Twitch. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I streamed. But yeah, I streamed for like 5 years on and off, sometimes full time, sometimes barely scraping by, and doing like lots of weird jobs. I did a lot of weird jobs. I've done a lot of jobs. I've had a lot of jobs. I used to be a florist. I worked at a bank. I worked at a windscreen wiper company doing posts for them. I know nothing about cars. I was like replying to people and they're like, this Ford XG something is not fitting. This windscreen wiper is not clipping it. I'm like, I can't.
You're like sad, and then you close the work laptop.
No, stop messaging me.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So I did that. I did like I worked as a wine salesperson as well. That was a fun job, sick. But then got closed up from COVID.
Classic.
We used to taste wine on the clock. Pretty sick. Was good. And I know a lot about wine now, which is like very irrelevant information. And also I do not have the finances for my fancy taste wines. In wine as well.
Yeah. Well, would you say that any of those jobs had any transferable skills that you kind of took into your role?
I mean, Massive Monster? Bitterness, I think. Yeah, bitterness. I think, being poor as help me have a sense of humor about it. So I don't know, like that those jobs are like, I was mainly the streaming is where I got most of my transferable skills from. I taught myself how to video edit. I taught myself how to use Photoshop. I mean, I knew how to use Photoshop because I could, yeah, for a while, but like in a different way, like making like a brand identity and going viral as well. So yeah. I used to bait Reddit livestream files clips, and I would make it look as though it was like happening then and there, but I pre-recorded one in the same outfit and it was like smoothly put through, and then someone would clip it and then they'll put it on livestream files. Or I would just get, like, I'm not even streaming now. Like, livestream fails, you can block me from being in there. They've got a lot of rules. But I used to, like, make fake accounts, and I used to get my mods to make fake accounts and post me. So,
whoa. I mean, it's good. Like, any publicity is good publicity. And, like, if you're...
It works.
You're not really failing. Like, you're goofing on them.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. I think there's a whole heap of like no self promotion. So within like live stream fail the subreddit, here's some cost. it becomes stagnant. I mean, it's just XQC, and it's been XQC for years and years, and it doesn't give like opportunities for other people. And yeah, and you also have to be like within that community to be posting. So it just I don't know. I haven't really been up to date with it lately because, you know, I don't care anymore.
It's not a priority.
It's not a priority to be on there. But, you know, I would say just if you can, they might find you. I've had plenty of accounts deleted. But, you know, it worked out. And, you know, if you're a small streamer, you're in like a sea of so much. Like there's so much. Mm. And you have to find a way of standing out. Or doing something fun, doing something different.
Well, that's the thing. If you fake a live stream fail and then have people come to, you know, kind of see the failure pan out and they realize, oh, you're actually not bad.
Well, like, you're actually live stream good. Fails is not failure. Fails, actually. So yeah? To give an example of what this subreddit is, it's just like the best clips. So people will grab a clip from Twitch. So a lot of mine were, they're not fails. They were like pre-made skits about like something that was like trending at the time that was happening within the Twitch community. Or like I would do like a stream that looked like it was like filmed on a 70s camera and I was doing like a Bob Sick. Ross stream. But I would like kind of play around with it where I'd have, you know how he would have like in the intro, like have the different colors. Mm. I had like all these like weird like Twitch name colors, like real like gross things to say that would pop up, but it would be like constantly looping over the top. Like I always liked video editing, so I always wanted to like elevate it in a, like an interesting way if I ever did a theme stream.
Yeah, sick. And when it came to, you know, you went from streaming to the many jobs that you had in between, and then now in the games industry, your plan kind of always to move into the games industry, or was there a point where you realized that that's what you wanted to do?
No, so it was over COVID, and I mean, I was streaming throughout that whole time as well, and I'd like lost my job in the wine industry because of COVID, and I had to get another job, and I ended up doing something for like a subsidiary of Vodafone where they're like cold calling IT managers, head of like people that are head of IT. It was awful. Like I never got one sale. not one. And I remember like freaking out and crying. And I would have been 26 at the time. and 26, 27. And I broke down and I was just thinking like, well, I don't have like a place in the world where I can like earn money and do things that I want to do. And I just felt so stuck because it was like such a, like a butt end job. Mm. And it was like COVID, we're all stuck inside. And I ended up like kind of talking with my partner and Jacob's like, you have heaps of skills though. Like you've got a lot.
Yeah.
And we kind of like wrote them down and I ended up applying for social media jobs. I got a job at Crumpler, which also fell through because of COVID, but that was when I started. Yeah. don't work for a luggage company over COVID.
Just a heads up. Yeah. Seems like
little business mind.
That's the time it would go downhill. Yeah.
But that was my first step into it. So I was the social media intern and was just making assets and posting on Instagram Reels. And like I had a lot of ideas, but they didn't get through the people that owned it. It used to be like a really cool company. It's a cool company again because I think the daughter of the original owner has bought it.
Yeah.
And they've downsized it and like they've kind of like worked back.
Yeah.
And at the time I was working for them, they were bought by a medical company that decided they wanted to get into apparel. And so the whole thing about Crumpler was that they made the bags to get beer from one part of Melbourne to the other part of Melbourne on a bike.
Right.
That's like, yeah, that's it. They're like good sturdy bags that you bring beer on.
Yeah,
and I had a lot of like jokes and ideas around that. And it just they're like, we want no affiliation to alcohol whatsoever. I'm like, well, it's kind of brand identity already. But and they took all the color out of the bags. And that's why they went under.
Yeah.
But now they're full of color. If you want a Crumpler bag, they look really good. I think they've made good decisions since being bought back out again.
Yeah, I feel like that just screams like trying to go as minimalist as possible, which I think we've learned over time that
everyone wants a black bag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I get the bag in black or white? Or maybe even gray?
Gray.
Stink. Oh,
navy blue. Navy blue as well. Oh.
We see, you know, the Crusoe pots. Is that
Crusoe? Oh, yeah. La Crusoe.
Yeah.
La Crosset.
So we see La Crosset and they're thriving with their, you know, big red pots. And anytime they have a release where it's like a colorful set of, you know, pots and pans and all that bullshit, it goes off because people like color. People love the Smeg line of colorful toasters. Things with color are nice. And I feel like we need to just move past the minimalism era. It's done. It's yuck.
I mean,
it's
that's
stink.
A little rich of you sitting on a gray couch right now.
It wasn't my choice.
Just a little rich.
I did not buy this couch. If I did, it'd be a beautiful pink.
Oh, stunning pink. A stunning pink. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
It'd be a stunning pink.
But yeah, so I ended up, because I had an experience now with social media, I got a job through Forts, which is like an RTSK. Their team's really awesome. And I just made TikToks for them and it was like a 4-month contract. And then I ended up working at SMG for a little bit, which was like a 6-month contract. And in between jobs, one of my friends who made Cold Land he had tried to get me a couple times, but it was when I was working in other jobs and it was like a New Year's party. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I'm doing nothing.
Give me a job.
And he's like, okay, I'll give you a job. And then like the other directors are like, you can't be giving jobs at parties. And I did like the full interview process and they liked a lot of, like they found my stream, which kind of sucks, you know, and they found some of like the old clips that I'd made and they liked them a lot. That's how I got a job.
Yeah, gorgeous. And how's it been?
Good.
How have you found your experience?
Probably one of my favorite jobs. That and the wine tasting. That's pretty high up there because it was
that's
just
so fair.
Yeah,
I keep
really
hearing
fun.
About this wine tasting job that you
it
had
was
and I'm
fun.
I'm getting the vibe that you really
job.
Loved it.
People would sign up for like a wine club.
Yeah.
And then they would ask you what you liked and like you would taste them and you'd talk about the flavors. And it was a fun job, but it still was a call center job. And I like advertising basically. So I've worked well in like advertising roles where, you know, you're trying to sell people stuff.
Yeah.
So I like that job and I love this job. This job's incredible. It's the best job I've ever had.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Based on the jobs you've said, they're kind of all in a way advertising adjacent. Like, floristry, you're advertising flowers. With your wine job, advertising wine. And even with streaming, you're advertising yourself.
Yeah.
And if you get sponsored, you're advertising your sponsor. Like, it all comes back to being able to advertise well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a huge thing, obviously, in social media management, but then in everything else you've described. And I'd say life in general. And getting a job is advertising yourself for the part. So when it comes to your Call to the Lamb work, what does like the process of concocting a post look like?
I usually just, if I think something's funny, I'll make it. It's really it. I think like I had some ideas I will like sit on because, again, it's like that weighing the cringe. We had like the big sex update stuff and I made like one Fortnite joke, which was like, actually it was cringe. That post was cringe. And I got on a flight to Africa. It's 30 hours. All right. I was on a flight to Africa. I just stopped off in Doha and I got a message from like the Oprah XG person. Being like, hey, I hope you're okay. The internet can be mean sometimes. It's all right. Like I get it all the time. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just have this message. And I'm like frantically looking on like the Call to the Lamb post. And I'm like, I've been on a plane with no internet. And it was like some Fortnite, like Rizlam, like add Fortnite to Rizlam when they had like interacted with the sex update stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was posted, I was like, maybe not good. It wasn't really like in the scheme of things, it wasn't that bad. It like, by the time I'd landed in Africa, like no one gave it like a shit, but I was really stressed in the layover. And I'm like, what have I done? I've ruined everything.
Yeah. You know, it's bad when Opera GX is going here, if you need to talk, you know,
oi. Yeah, I just gaslighted him and I was like, what do you mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that? Not cringe. No. Not bothered.
I actually posted that as post-cringe. Yeah. So it's actually not cringe at
I
all.
I mean to do that. I'm not bothered by that at all. Me like.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to lose subscriber. So have any of your grand ideas ever been vetoed before?
Not really. Well, there was like a... there was when we had like the swap over because someone from Devolver was doing a little bit of stuff before I started. Yeah. And there was a few things where they were like, oh, maybe don't do that. But it was our, like the boys on our side. So the directors are like, post whatever you want. We don't care. and they were like, okay. So I think there was like some Roblox meme that didn't want to be associated with Roblox, but we didn't. Okay, because someone made like a Roblox lamb and I thought it was funny. Ugh. Like I find Roblox funny. I don't think it's good for kids.
Oh, Roblox
it's not
hilarious.
But it is a little bit funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Like the fact that it started as like Lego online.
Yeah.
And now it's like children developing games. And yeah, and it's basically VR chat. I think that's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like thinking about how Habbo Hotel existed in its prime. Did you ever play Habbo Hotel?
I did, yeah. I pretended to be a boy and tried to get girlfriends.
I would sit at the adoption centers and make fun of people pretending to be babies to get adopted.
Oh, that's weird though. That's a weird thing to do. Don't do that.
Oh, it was incredibly weird. Like these people were probably adults kind of going like,
What if I just acted like a baby?
Goo goo gaga. Someone goo adopt gaga. Me.
Mummy.
Mummy.
Where can I get a mummy, please?
And then absolutely hello? Some 8-year-old girl's like, I'll be your mummy. It's weird. Habbo Hotel was weird. Yeah. And I mean, there's still weird stuff everywhere, you know. VR chat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, COVID was a bit of a rough time for me. I was in Melbourne and we were like locked in for 2 years. I was on VR chat because I thought it was funny. But I learned a lot.
It seems funny.
Yeah.
Well, what would you say was your best experience from VR chat?
Oh, okay. I genuinely like people assume I'm a fairy because I work for Cold and Lair. They assume fair. All of us are fairies. Unfortunately, I don't think all makes of us sense. Are.
Oh, I assumed all of you were.
So. Yeah, yeah. If I had a fursona, I'd be some big dragon, bouncy dragon lady.
I see that.
Yeah, that would be it if I had to. But I am I am not.
Hypothetically.
But the furries were always like the nicest people on VR chat. There's some awful people there. But if you go to, so I would like want to learn as much as I possibly could because I was like kind of obsessed with like people that slept on VR chat, like people sleep on there.
Yeah.
And then I was like obsessed with like people that like have whole love lives or like this like whole life in there. And I wanted to learn more. I could only really go on for like an hour max at a time because I get motion sick so bad. And we would go to like a furry world. And then we would just like make friends because it's very easy. They're always really nice.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, show me the weirdest stuff you've found on VR chat. And they'll take you to private worlds, like ones you can't access unless you know about them. A lot of them were like weird sex dungeons. I'm of course. Oh, thank you. I don't want to be here.
Oh, this isn't funny anymore. You've been doing it for too long.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Or they'll take like you to like their favorite sleep place. Or there was like really cool worlds that people had made privately or had paid for custom to make.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I found it really interesting because it's such a reflection of humanity, VR chat, because people can make anything and make their own worlds. And it's cool. It's a cool little thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm curious to know how like sleeping in VR chat works because like surely wearing the headset to bed is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Some people, they get so used to it. I think they're so comfortable in it. And from the people that I spoke to, a lot of them like only took it off to eat and go to the toilet and wash. They lived in VR. And I mean, I can understand like, and also this was over COVID, so it's so understandable about wanting to like be somewhere else. I probably would just constantly spew because I can't handle VR. But
and they're like, why are you making that jerking motion? You're just like,
I find it really interesting. I mean, I just find a lot of like those like little worlds in the internet interesting. So I think that's why I have like a bit of a knowledge on all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I just like knowing.
Oh, yeah. I think ye old metaverses are so fascinating. Like the worlds of like Second Life and I am
Second Life is hilarious.
Second Life I find really interesting because like, I mean, it was arguably like the first kind of big one where your whole thing was to just hang out. Like you didn't really do anything. And that's kind of where it started. Make
little clubs.
Yeah. And it's, I remember not knowing about it at all until I watched an episode of Law and Order SVU that included Second Life. And and that was like my introduction to it. And I'm like, oh, that's a bad place full of crime and debauchery. And then I later found out that it is a place full of crime and debauchery.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
There were things happening in Second Life that I just don't think should have.
No. But, you know, I'm more concerned with people just having little clubs you're not allowed to be part of.
Yeah. Why is that? What kind of people are in those clubs?
You're not allowed in this. You were breaking an entry. I'm like, in the
back of the line, buddy. And I'm like, I can just fly away. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm going to talk to admin. Admin's coming right now. I just messaged admin.
Yeah, I just messaged the mods and you're in for a big chat. Yeah. It's so okay, over for
I'm
you.
I'm so scared.
So kind of moving back to you know, your work with Cult of the Lamb, you know, obviously I think a huge part of it is the interactions that you have with other accounts, the community and everything like that. What would you say, have you ever had any kind of less than savory interactions with fans of the game, and how do you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's all sorts of like weird messages and stuff we get. Like, most of the time, like, I won't interact with like hateful stuff. Yet they hold it so close to their heart, so any little change can make it can be like a big thing.
Yeah.
I will only interact if it's like this is like a resolve that people need to know that we fixed this thing, or yeah, it's really funny. That's it. That's the only times I'm going to reply. That's usually how I like approach TikToks. With TikToks, I go, there are so many questions. We cannot. Like, we're at a point where we're so big. And if there is like a question that keeps coming up, I will answer that question. And then I'll do like a funny answer to something. Like, there was one, like, sometimes every social media platform has their vibe. Instagram Reels, they can be a little mean. Facebook can be really mean, but we don't use Facebook, but they can be really mean and a little racist on Facebook.
Shocking.
Yeah. So a little
Whoa,
mean.
Who knew?
On Steam, very mean, very angry.
Yep.
Very angry and mean on Steam. It's because people like care more about the game as well.
I feel like on Steam, people feel like they come from a place of authority because they're posting on a video game community page.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't want to offend the lords themselves.
Oh, heaven forbid. Going against the gamers, it's so over. You know?
TikTok, there's just like a collective intelligence problem. I think that's because there's kids on there. So
TikTok, these bitches dumb.
It's like, I think there was a few TikToks where I'm like, we have a free update coming out, an update to the game, right? And people are like, oh, game, I checked on Steam and the game's not free. And I'm like,
Oh no.
And there was so many, I had to like write a post like on the top being like, hey, I'm just clarifying, this is an update to the game, you have to own the game. And it happened, like, I think as soon as someone hears free, they stop listening to everything else and they're like, oh, Cobblin's free. Not quite.
Close.
Not yet.
So close.
Or they also ask you regularly, can you make the game free? That happens often. Almost every page, post, be like, can you make the game free? I just reply no every time. Or what's the name of this game? That happens all the time. What is the name of this game? Under like what says Kotalem there, like that's my name right there. But I do reply to them only because I feel like they need clarification. So I do reply God of War 2 to those.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
Which is true. Well, I think it's like that almost seems like someone has just gotten on like the internet for the first time, also can't read, but like has gotten on the internet for the first time. The first thing they've seen is like Cult of the Lamb and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, what is this? Is this like a television show?
No, like, it's a game. But they do say
so
game.
Fun.
What is this game?
That lamb is so cool. What's that in?
It's
a cult? What is that?
It's in a game.
What's a cult?
But yeah, I mean, it just is so far-reaching as well. And Twitter is, I mean, there's just some differing opinions on there.
Mm.
That's what it is. Usually they're much nicer. Like, I'd say TikTok, though, they may have some, like, questions that are, like, I'm just confused by the questions more than anything.
Yeah.
They're nice, really nice.
Yeah.
It's usually a positive experience. I haven't been on the negative side of that one yet. But it's usually very positive comparatively to most other social medias. It's not cool to be mean.
Yeah, TikTok I feel like is TikTok's huge.
Yeah, I'm on the right side, I think. We're on the right
side. Pushed yeah, pushed you in the right direction. Twitter is such an interesting one because I feel like with how the algorithm works now, it pushes it to people who probably have no interest in what you're posting just as much as it does the people who do have interest in what you're posting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you'll get people who are like, I love Cult of the Lamb. This is so funny. This is awesome. And then you'll have people who are like, cool, can I do, like, racism in this game?
No,
can I have, like, can I have sweatshops?
Yeah, I actually saw one that said that, something like that.
Mm. Awesome.
Something along that, something about slavery. Oh, no, it was someone asking not to have slavery, which is, like, I'm like, we're not going to add that.
They asked like, hey, can you not add slavery?
And I was like, sure, no worries. I mean, no worries.
Yeah.
Just don't think about the cult too much. Don't like think about how that works.
Like, I love Cult of the Lamb. It's great. I think the cult aspect is like really funny, really silly. But like, I think slavery would be a step too far. So maybe don't add slavery.
We're not going to. That's a wild thing to add.
I like the assumption that you might have added it if they didn't say anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they get that. But we're not. We're definitely not.
Huge. Huge. Official Cult of the Lamb announcement exclusively on Pocket Buds. There will be no slavery in the next update. So how important do you think, I mean, in this day and age, like a strong social media presence is for a video game?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly important, I think. Like, I don't think Twitter or X is as important as TikTok. And reels and stuff like that, I think. And there's a lot of ways that people are not approaching it in the right way. Mm. I usually discourage from paid promotions unless it is an introduction into the game with someone talking about it. You need to hear like someone else's voice that explains it. A trailer to a game, like say like an animated trailer that you pump out, doesn't really give anyone like any information about what you are and who you are. I always explain like, introduce your game every time until people know what your game is. You've just got to like really be like, hey, this is our game. It's about farming. This is what you can do in this game. This is, and then answer some questions, reply to some questions that you can show an element of the gameplay that is different and still have a slight introduction into your game. So you can show multiple things. It doesn't need to be the same thing, but it's like in our game, blah, blah, blah. This is that. And I feel like that's a good way of getting into it. And it's really easy to fall in like a pitfall of not understanding how the platform works. It does also change constantly. And you also need to get your like audio really set. And I would recommend using Adobe Podcast so what you do is you chuck your audio in and it will clear it up. And there won't be any echoes. There won't be any yuckies. It'll sound like you're in a little studio room, and you get suppressed if you don't have good audio.
I've yet to hear a really yucky sounding TikTok video like of a game, and I think it is, you know, you're absolutely right, because it's getting suppressed.
Yeah,
you gotta have like high quality but not trying too hard, because if you try too hard, then it's cringe.
Yeah, I think it's it's just having like genuine people behind it. And I mean, Cold Lamb is also like in the I can actively do TikTok trends because I have access to all of the animations in the game. And we have little talking animations which I can match up with trending audios, which is fun.
And speaking of genuine people behind team, what would you say is your least favorite brand account?
Slim Jim. I hate Slim Jim. Please. I also don't like Julgo. That's why I wanted to fight them, because I actually don't like their brand account. And I like them less now that they're using AI. They hired so many people and they're using
AI. They fired a bunch of translators. And like it doesn't make sense, because I like the AI translations obviously have errors, because AI is just as prone to errors as humans are. Sure, you know, you can learn how to clean a washing machine by watching a video on YouTube, but at the end of the day, that video is made by a person and you're probably going to not get that same level of education if that same video were made by a robot, because a robot doesn't know how to clean a washing machine. And then the same can be said when it comes to translations.
Yeah, there's some nuance totally as well, you know, that with translating. But yes, I also don't like their Dua Lipa, like them being obsessed with Dua Lipa. I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. So Slim Jim's, Duolingo, and I also don't like Wendy's, only because I get messaged sometimes being saying I'm the indie game Wendy's of Twitter, and that is like wake up in sweats. Don't like that. I hate that. But also I can see where they're super corporatized. When I tried to interact with Duolingo, like they 100% had a meeting and they were like, we can't be associated with cults, and they couldn't reply to us anymore.
Boy.
And, which is funny. Like our team is like 14 people and they trust me pretty like if there's anything like on the edge, I will send it through and they'll be like, hey, is this okay? But I think I can see like the corporate levels of it where it's like, I think Wendy's also has gone to, like, they've corporatized so much. Like, they had all of this, like, wins at the beginning because they kind of let someone go wild. And now, like, they, like, if you have a look at their interactions now, they've lost that, or they've got a different person, or it's just like the charm of it's gone. But also I think really large brand Twitters can be a little bit cringe, and I think that's why we stand out a little bit, because like it's not like a huge team, it's not a worldwide, I mean we have people in the UK and people in Australia, but we only really have like six in each. But
yeah, you guys are a small team, and I think that became cringe really quickly, like the Wendy's and and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Duolingo I think tried to do the weird thing, but then at the end of the day, like, they are a company, and they tried to do like the, oh, it's the owl is posting from the account, it's the owl, and that worked for a hot second before you realize, no, still a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Advertising an app. And the worst thing you can do is try to be a relatable online brand after sacking a bunch of people and replacing them with AI. Like, I think that's just like,
yeah, it's like at least
you can't come back from that.
Yeah. At least, like, because they're avoiding it. Like, you can't avoid it. You have to, like, you're still gonna.
Yeah. And so, why do you hate Slim Jims?
Look. That's actually a trade secret. Within a few other brand accounts, we dislike Slim Jim. Slim Jim, if you have a look at Slim Jim social media, that's where social media goes to die. Sorry, Slim Jim. CM. I'm so sorry.
You're like, goodbye, Slim Jims. F*** you, Slim Jims. We hate you, Slim Jims.
No, thank you, Slim Jim.
And how about some accounts that you see do posting right without feeling like an empty shell of a brand?
Yeah, I've got it's heaps, like Voice Mod and Oprah, and like there's a lot of them. I mean, Devolver as well in theirs. I like Satan. Like, that's more of a character, not a brand. Yeah. But Satan's really good. Satan's great.
Satan's great. Love Satan. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few in there that I like. U-Tunes does really well. As I mean, we work with them, but they're a fantastic team to work with.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Discord used to be pretty good, but then, you know, they fired a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so they're kind of my favorites. Like, I have a few that I really like and I've interacted with, and they're, you, like, I mean, I know most of them as well.
Yeah, that helps.
Also the Angry Birds person, because I love them interacting with me. They sent me a whole heap of Angry Birds merch as well, which is hilarious. I never thought I'd have that in my hair.
Angry Birds merch, yeah. Well, Josie, thank you so, so much for joining me on the show today. How can we learn more about your work and also Cult of the Lamb?
Yeah, you can follow at Cult of the Lamb on almost everything, and it's me most of the time posting. And I sometimes talk about social media on my personal account, which is at Knight Sinclair. But most of the time it's just me bitching about life as well. That's where I am. But, yeah, if you keep an eye out, we do post regularly.
Love that.
It's my job. We have to.
Yeah, it's you literally are paid to do so. So fair enough. Once again, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon. If you support us at the silver tier and above, you can get access to our bonus episodes. In this week's episode, we're talking all about Cult of the Lamb's sex update. It's too hot for regular programming.
I get tagged in, for lack of a better word, hardcore porn of the Lamb constantly. And it wasn't even that bad that they were interacting. I think they were just going along with the joke. And I was we cannot.
And hey, if you really like what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? You can also find us on Twitch. We've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. And on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's the socials, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. And as the decaying corpse of the Wendy's Twitter would say, bye.
Bye, bestie. That's what they'd say. Bye, bestie.
Bye, bestie.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.